Hello and welcome to our quarterly podcast, where we discuss the activities to support consistent application of IFRS accounting standards. My name is Bruce McKenzie, and I'm a member of the ISB and chair of the IFRS Interpretations Committee. Joining me today is Brian O'Donovan, one of the members of the committee.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for joining me today, Brian. Now, in this episode, we will cover the discussions that took place at the June committee meeting. Now, this meeting had rather a packed agenda. As always, the meeting papers and a recording of the committee's discussions are available on our website. Now, to start with, we will focus on the references to IS1, Presentation of Financial Statements, and some of the existing agenda decisions that need to be updated with the issuance of IFRS 18. We'll then talk about the other topics the committee discussed later in the episode. So, in April, the ISB asked the committee to consider updating 10 agenda decisions. Now, this is a unique request by the ISB. For context, when new requirements become effective, the ISB typically takes one of two approaches regarding agenda decisions that address accounting matters related to those requirements. Firstly, if the explanatory material in the agenda decision refers to requirements that have changed or are no longer effective, for example, when IFRS 16 replaced IS 17 on leasing, the agenda decision is withdrawn in its entirety. Or secondly, if the requirements have been brought forward unchanged, so for example, when we move from IS 39 to IFRS 9, the requirements included in the explanatory material of the agenda decision are updated with those of the new or amended IFRS accounting standards. Now, the ISB identified 10 agenda decisions that refer to IS1, but did not focus only on the requirements in IS1. Under the typical approaches, the ISB would normally withdraw these 10 agenda decisions when IFRS 18 becomes effective. Now, this is because the requirements in IS1 that these agenda decisions refer to were not brought forward unchanged. However, the ISB considered that withdrawing these 10 agenda decisions in the entirety would not support consistent application. Now, the explanatory material that references IFRS accounting standards other than IS1 in these agenda decisions remains relevant, and therefore the agenda decisions would continue to be useful to support consistent application, even after IFRS 18 becomes effective. So, Brian, could you share with the listeners what the committee decided?
Yes, thanks, Bruce. So this was definitely a very unusual situation. It's absolutely not something the committee has been asked to do before, certainly not during my time on the committee. I've got to say, as a member of the committee, it took me a lot of discipline, a lot of focus to stick to the remit that we've been given by the IASB. We were trying to strike a balance between thinking about the IFRS 18 requirements and being helpful to stakeholders. We had to remember that these were not new questions. We were not examining them from scratch. We simply had to consider what are the equivalent requirements in IFRS 18. We weren't there to add colour. If stakeholders listen to the recording of the discussion, they'll understand the balancing act we were trying to perform. In the end, we tentatively approved updates to the 10 agenda decisions, and these were published in the June IFRIC update. In another first for the committee, these updates are open for comment for 90 days. That's 90 days instead of the usual 60. So that means the comment period will end on the 6th of October.
Thanks, Brian. I must say it was very difficult to stay within the lines on this one, but I think the committee did a very good job of that. And I do think it is important for our listeners to understand that the committee is not reissuing these 10 agenda decisions.
No, absolutely not. The purpose of the proposed updates is to point stakeholders to the relevant requirements in IFRS 18 instead of IS1. Nothing more. We were not asked to, and we did not discuss other aspects of the agenda decisions. Similarly, we're asking stakeholders to provide feedback only about the proposed updates. Now, I know it's going to be very tempting to look at other aspects of these agenda decisions, but we must stay focused on IFRS 18. We want to know, are we pointing readers to the appropriate requirements in IFRS 18? And by doing so, are we creating any unintended consequences?
Thanks very much, Brian. Now, I mean, we look forward to hearing from our stakeholders on these proposed updates, and let's see what everybody thinks in terms of what we've done. Now, the ISB will withdraw two agenda decisions related to IS1. These were presentation requirements issued in May 2014 and presentation of liabilities or assets related to uncertain tax positions, which was issued in September 2019. Now, it might be helpful to note that if stakeholders have questions about applying the new IFRS 18 requirements to the accounting matters that were addressed in those withdrawn agenda decisions, they can submit their questions to the committee. The process for doing so is set out on our website. Now, let's turn to the other topics the committee discussed at the June meeting. Now, at that meeting, the committee decided to publish two tentative agenda decisions on determining and accounting for transaction costs under IFRS 9 and embedded prepaid options, and to finalise one agenda decision on assessing the indicators of hyperinflationary economies. Brian, do you want to talk us through these matters?
Yeah, happy to. So the two tentative agenda decisions, they each respond to requests about IFRS 9 on financial instruments. The first request asks how an entity determines whether costs that are directly attributable to originating a financial instrument but are incurred prior to entering into the contractual arrangement, are those costs incremental such that they could meet the definition of transaction costs in IFRS 9? The request then went on to ask how to account for transaction costs in the period between incurring them and entering into the contractual arrangement. The second request asked whether, when determining whether to separate an embedded prepayment option in a loan agreement, the term "the entity" in the relevant paragraph for IFRS 9 refers to the lender or to the reporting entity, which in this case would be the borrower. In both cases, the committee reviewed the results of outreach performed by the staff. Stakeholders told us, firstly, that costs that are directly attributable to the origination or issuance of a financial instrument but are incurred before entering into the contractual arrangement, well, those costs can be incremental and accordingly can meet the definition of transaction costs in IFRS 9. Secondly, transaction costs are recognised in the statement of financial position, often as prepayments or other assets. And thirdly, the term "the entity" in the relevant paragraph of IFRS 9 is read to refer to the lender. So for both of these requests, the committee observed no diversity in practice, and we concluded that these matters do not have widespread effect. So there are two new tentative agenda decisions in the June IFRIC update, open for comment until the 6th of October. We'll be really interested to see if anything different comes out of the feedback. The committee also agreed to finalise its agenda decision on hyperinflation. And that was after we reviewed the comment letters received on the tentative version of the agenda decision that was published last year. The final agenda decision will be presented to the IASB for approval at a future meeting. Also, the feedback received by the committee highlighted challenges in applying the scope requirements in IAS 29. That feedback will be reported back to the IASB. I think a really interesting thing about all three of these agenda decisions is that in explaining the committee's rationale for not adding the issues to the work plan, each of these agenda decisions outline the findings of the committee.
Thanks, Brian. Now, as you said, the agenda decisions include the findings we receive from various stakeholders. I mean, do you think it's helpful in doing this, including this in the agenda decision?
I do. I think if we're going to issue an agenda decision that essentially says everybody does the same thing, then we should tell people what that thing is. Now, my one word of caution would be that the agenda decisions don't feature technical conclusions, as there was no technical analysis performed. We're simply reporting what we've been told in the comment letters and through the outreach. But I do think there is value in telling people what other stakeholders are in fact doing.
Brian, thanks very much for your views and thanks for joining us and giving a bit of an update in terms of what we discussed at that meeting. So for listeners, if you want to learn more about the committee and how we work and why you need to consider gender decisions, be sure to watch our explainer video, which is on the ifres.org website. Remember, summaries of the committee's meetings can also be found there. So we hope you found this podcast informative. As a reminder, you can catch up on previous episodes of this podcast and the monthly IASB podcasts on our website, as well as on your preferred podcast channels. With that, we'll sign off until next time. Thanks for listening and stay tuned until our next quarterly update. Take care.
To stay up to date with the latest developments from the IFRS Foundation, the International Accounting Standards Board, and the International Sustainability Standards Board, sign up for email alerts on our website, ifres.org, or find us on social media. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. Please contact us on communications@ifres.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions.